Good morning. I'm Victoria Mansky. The Magi follow the star to worship Jesus and present him gifts. We too have been guided here by God's light to worship Jesus and offer him our gifts of love. Welcome. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, ZionLeeSewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast today is sponsored by Cheryl Berger in memory of Andy Berger. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. The message today is 9 Mile Miss by Pastor Dan. The Christmas offering is being collected in honor of all who faithfully serve and in memory of Larry Lehman. The council voted to designate the proceeds of our Christmas offering for the LeeSewer County Food Shelf, where Larry and Cindy gave selflessly of their time and energy. Your gift will support the vital work of feeding the people in our community who are fighting battles daily to provide enough food for their loved ones. If you have not yet given your Christmas offering, you may still do so. The 2025 offering envelopes are available in the overflow area. If you don't see one with your name, please contact the church office. Confirmation classes resume at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, January 8th. Reminder to pick up your poinsettias. To all committee and organization chairs, please submit your annual reports as soon as possible. The full annual report will be distributed starting January 19th, and the annual meeting is scheduled for January 26th. The men's and women's breakfasts will meet on Wednesday, January 8th at 8 a.m. at Nicollet Cafe in St. Peter. The communion ministers, formerly friendly visitors, will meet on Wednesday, January 8th at 3 p.m. We would like to add a few more visitors to our group. If you feel you would like to be part of this effort, you are very welcome. Please contact anyone in our group or Pastor Jan, or just plan to attend this meeting on Wednesday. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship and service. Now let us join in worship.
Imagine Christmas is over. All the programs have been performed. All the pictures have been taken. The carolers are done singing. The holiday parties have come and gone. The presents are unwrapped. And the big dinners have all been eaten. The Christmas music is turned off. The family's headed back home. Someone from work is on the phone. The kids have a practice to get to. The house needs to be cleaned. The bills still need to be paid. The groceries are running low. The stock market is still down and up and down. The TV is still on. The news is still worrisome. Life just keeps going as if Christmas never happened. But it did happen. Look around. The church is full of family and friends and laughter. Because the baby is still the Savior. And the Savior is still the gift held out to a world still looking for joy, an earth still waiting for peace, and the peaceful still sing in wonder of the God who gave his Son and the Son who gave his life to add us to his family and one day welcome us home. Imagine Christmas is over. But remember that it really happened. And it changed everything.
We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join with me now in our call to worship. Arise, shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Though darkness covers the face of the earth, the glory of the Lord appears. Nations will come to your light, and rulers to the brightness of your dawn. The Lord shall be our everlasting light, and our days of mourning shall be ended. A new day is dawning. A new year is born. Please stand as we join together in our opening hymn, We Three Kings.
Thank you.
we say there's no sin within us, we deceive only ourselves, and we make ourselves strangers to the truth. With confidence in God's goodness to us, let us pray together our prayer of confession. O God, you are the searcher of hearts. You have known us from the beginning. You see in us more good and beauty than we have dared to believe. You beckon us to do more than we have dared to try. But we have filled our ears with the sounds of the world. We have timidly spoken of your great love. We have doubted the gifts hidden within each of us. Lord, have mercy on us and forgive us. In the new year ahead, shine your light into the darkness of the world, into our hesitancy, into our hopelessness, and into our hardness of heart. Embolden us to live with such joy and fire that all the world may know of your love. Let it be so. Amen. Friends, listen to these words from 1 John. Sisters and brothers, we write these things to you that your joy may be fulfilled. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you. If we say that we know Christ and yet walk in darkness, we deceive ourselves. But if we walk in the light, as God is light, we have kinship with one another. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Christ, we are forgiven. We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. Amen. As God's own forgiven, redeemed people, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you all. As we begin our time of prayer this morning, I'd like to share with you a few concerns to hold in prayer this week. Congratulations to to Chase and Chelsea Bainey on the birth of their daughter, Dorothy May, born on Friday, January 3rd. Congratulations, Chase and Chelsea. I ask that you please hold in prayer John and Jan Lave. John is hospitalized at this time. He plans to return home back here as soon as possible, but just wanted you to be aware of that. He is hospitalized in Waconia at this time. Also, hold in your prayer Herb Krenz. Herb came down with COVID, was isolated in his quarters, and fell and broke his hip. So please hold Herb and his daughter Jody too, as she provides care for him and they look for a place for him to recover from that break. Will you join with me in prayer? Almighty God and Father of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, we've seen your light and followed it this far. It breaks into the darkness of our lives, and we turn to you in prayer. And we ask that we, your people, might shine with that same radiance into this world. We bring before you this morning our varied conditions, our new concerns for this new year, concerns that have not yet been resolved. And this is not so much to remind you, God, of what we need as to acknowledge the depth of your healing power and your grace. We bring before you the needs of our bodies. We pray for all those in this world who are weakened by hunger and malnutrition. We lift up in prayer all those who have fallen prey to illness or injury, especially John and Herb. We pray for their families as well, as they support them in their recovery. And for all of us who discover in the process of aging that our bodies indeed fail us, we bring you before you, God, our cares and concerns. We also lay before you the needs of our minds to understand when it's possible to understand, and to be at peace when we cannot. For all those this day who suffer with any mental illness or emotional illness, we pray for them, and we pray for those who are tormented by painful memories. We bring before you, O God, the needs of our relationships. We pray for all those in this world who are embroiled in conflict, whether between nations or between parent and child, husband and wife, conflicts between friends, and for all those who suffer loneliness from a lack of relationships. For all those who have resisted the opportunity to relate even to you, God, we pray for those who do not accept the acceptance you offer to us. All of this we lift before you, O God, reassured that you have searched our hearts and know us and love us still. In the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we pray. Amen. And now I'd like to invite the children forward for a time for the child in all of us.
just us up here, Ellie. But that's okay. We can handle it, right? Yes. Today, we're going to hear some Bible verses about how Jesus is the light of the world. And you probably remember this from our Christmas program. The shepherds came up and worshiped Jesus. And then three wise men came up. Do you remember that too? They came up and they offered gifts to baby Jesus. Now, one of them that you're going to hear about today, oh, I hope I put it here in my box. Oh, it's here somewhere. Yep. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And gold doesn't really smell like anything. It's valuable, but it doesn't smell like anything. But this, yep. Isn't that a nice smell? Yes. This is frankincense and myrrh mixed together. And we use it as a gift to people for healing. And that's one of the things that was very, very valuable back in the time of Jesus when he was just a little baby. Those three kings brought some very important gifts for him. Now, if you were buying gifts for a baby, you might think of something besides gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? Yeah, I thought so too. So I brought a couple things up here. What might a baby need? Yep, there we go. We've got some diapers here. Okay, now we've got the diapers. Is that all a baby needs? What else does a baby need? Yes, that's right. They need wipes. Okay, all right. So now we know that the baby's going to stay clean, right? Okay, we've got some wipes, some diapers, and oh, what else? What else might a baby need? How about, yeah, some toys? Sure. When they're getting teeth, they might like to have something like that that helps with bringing their teeth in. Sure. So we've got a teething ring here. And let's see what else. Oh, look at this. What's this? Yeah, it's a pacifier. Sure. Sometimes babies need that, don't they? Okay. What else do we have in here? Can you see what Pastor Jan has in here? What's that? No. What is that?
Baby bottle.
It's a baby bottle. Sure. We've got to feed the baby. Now, when the wise men came to visit Jesus, he might have been as much as 2 years old. But sometimes a two-year-old baby likes to have a bottle too, right? Sure. And we've got, what's this?
Soap.
Sure, it's shampoo, isn't it? Yeah, keep the baby clean. And then, oh, look what else. What do we have here? A brush and a comb, that's right. Now, what if I said, well, we're going to bring baby Jesus a radio. Would Jesus have much use for a radio? Not really, no. What if, say we're going to buy for any baby, would they like to have a brand new car? Yeah, they might like to have a brand new car. I think Mom and Dad might like to have a brand new car. Well, could a baby drive a car? No, I wouldn't want to even see that. Now, the thing is, we've got to get gifts that are fitting for a baby, right? That are just right. So you know what I thought we'd do this morning? Instead of just showing you these, I think you and I should get a gift bag ready for a baby, okay? We won't put a radio or little racing cars in there. They're not old enough for that yet. Are they old enough for markers, crayons, glue? No. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. Can you read that? Can you see what that says? Hello? Yeah, it's a B, a baby. Can you say that with me? Hello, baby. Oh, you're so helpful. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to put these gifts in the bag. We're not going to put any frankincense and myrrh in there. I wonder, do you think these diapers will fit in there? Shall we see? Okay, let's see if they do. Well, look at that. Okay, you want to put some other things in there? Okay, pacifiers. Okay, what else? Teething ring. Okay, how about the comb and brush? How about a bottle? Now, will the baby be happy with these gifts? The baby probably will be. But the mom and the dad will probably be happy too. We'll take this over maybe to the food shelf and see if there's a new mom or dad that needs some of these presents. Because what we're supposed to learn from the Bible today, Ellie, is that the wise men brought gifts to Jesus as a sign of how much they loved him, how glad they were that he had come into the world. And we're grateful when babies come into this world. Can you hear Otto back there? Yeah, I hear Otto too. We're so glad he's here too. Let's pray. God, thank you for baby Jesus and for all the little children in the world that he welcomed when he became an adult. Help us to follow in his footsteps and to be more like the wise men who gave their gifts. Amen. Thanks for coming up this morning. You're a brave girl.
The scripture this morning is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 9. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the seas shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebooth shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastlands shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring your children from far away, their silver and gold with them. For the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Thank you.
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come forth a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations upon all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, when it came time for the offering at church one Sunday, Mrs. Smart was fumbling around in her purse, looking for her wallet, when a large TV remote fell out onto the floor. The usher bent down to pick it up for her and whispered, "Do you always carry your TV remote to church?" "No," she replied. "My husband refused to come to church this morning, so I figured I'd teach him a lesson." Today, January 5th, marks the 12th day of Christmas. Let's just say these first couple of Sundays after Christmas aren't always too great for attendance. You remember that song, "The 12 Days of Christmas," the partridge in the pear tree, the 10 lords a-leaping, the 9 ladies dancing? You remember that one. It's actually a very old song from a time when our ancestors used to continue the celebration of Christmas for a full 12 days afterwards, right up until Epiphany, which is tomorrow, January 6th. I don't know when we stopped observing those 12 full days of Christmas, but clearly for most of us in the 21st century, those days appear to be long gone. In fact, for many of us these days, there's kind of a letdown after Christmas Day. Presents unwrapped, holiday parties are over, leftovers popping out of the fridge, the family goes home, and worst of all, for some of us, the Christmas tree comes down. In those days after Christmas, we might find ourselves feeling a little bit confused during that week. We might feel a little bit depressed. And then there are still some of us who feel maybe a little bit relieved. Now, while the rest of the world is gearing up for parties on New Year's Eve, some of us are busy clearing off our desk and getting ready for everything that happens after January 1st. In short, we turn our attention to other things. But the gospel lesson for today is not quite ready for us to just move on. Not yet, anyway. These wise men that we hear of today had their eyes on the stars. For as much as maybe 2 years, their attention had been focused on one star in particular. It captured their attention. In fact, that same star so captivated them that it created in them a longing, a yearning to understand what that star was all about. Now, my dad was a wise man too, but not the kind that you picture in the gospel lesson for today. He had no remarkable wealth. He had no background in astronomy. But my dad always wanted to see things up close. He didn't want to just read about something. He wanted to be there. Go to a football game in Green Bay on the coldest day of the year? Sure. Watch Old Faithful erupt in a magnificent display of steam? Ride a cable car in San Francisco? Stand in silence at the Lincoln Memorial? I have to admit, there were times I wondered, I questioned even, standing in the hot, burning sun at the Grand Canyon or freezing on top of Pikes Peak in Colorado. Why, I thought to myself, why are we driving for days on end just to see the blue bonnets in Texas? You could just look them up in the encyclopedia. You can watch that football game on TV and save yourself a whole lot of effort. And why not just listen to Johnny Mathis on a CD instead of traveling all that way to go see him in concert? Why? For the same reason that Indiana Jones didn't just sit behind his desk pondering the Ark of the Covenant. For the same reason that Neil Armstrong strapped on his boots, left the lunar module, opened the door, and walked on the surface of the moon. We human beings go. We search. We pack our bags, we saddle up, and we have to see it for ourselves and experience it firsthand. A movie, a map, a magazine article, all that information is simply secondhand. We might learn something new from it all. None of those things ever even come close, though, to a real-life, one-on-one, in-person experience. The same thing is true for the wise men. These men from the East weren't satisfied with just taking notes and hearing speculations about that wondrous star and what it might mean. Some were saying that this was a sign of a great king, that there was a God whose power and compassion had descended to earth, and that their own Babylonian gods were weak, pathetic substitutes for God's glory. Who could not want to leave behind all the routines of life and just simply be there? Who could ever be satisfied with just sitting on the sidelines when the God of the universe had come and entered into human life? Now, Matthew tells us they stopped in Jerusalem and discovered that they were mistaken in their calculations. They were off by 9 miles. And like true wise men, ladies, they stopped and asked for directions. At Herod's palace, they asked, Where is he who is born King of the Jews? And when they heard of his location from the religious scholars of the day, they kept right on going. Matthew goes on to tell us that even after seeing that kind of disappointing spectacle of a little house in Bethlehem and an average-looking mother and dad and a little boy in diapers, those wise ones still didn't turn away and look for somebody else who looked more the part of a king. Matthew tells us they were overwhelmed with joy. They opened their treasures and laid them at the feet of their king. At the beginning of this brand new year, let's ask ourselves, when was the last time you were overwhelmed with joy? How far might you go to find it? And what gift might you be willing to give once you find it? Most of us don't need more books and information. Wikipedia, Google have taken care of those things for us. And we don't necessarily need to witness firsthand a supernova. The James Webb Space Telescope has taken care of that. And in this world of opinions and online conspiracy theories, we really don't want somebody else's secondhand information based on their own private prejudice or hatred or fear. We want what the Magi received. We want to feel the presence of God right down to our bones. We want those promises of Isaiah to come alive for us. Arise, shine, for your light has come. So let's not become so familiar with this story that we ignore this astonishing information that Matthew's giving to us here. The visit of the Magi, the wise men, means that this king is born not only for the people of Israel, but for the redemption of the entire world. Now, pagans and foreigners, scholars and the masses can come and worship in his light. Matthew's letting us know that the power and grace of God is no longer just the private possession of a few people. God is laying claim to all humanity. And let's remember, too, that these magi from the East were scientists. At least by those standards, they were scientists. They weren't pastors or prophets or theologians. They were foreigners, not Jews. And because of that, we might say that these wise men had every right to just sit back in Babylon or whatever city they were from. They had every right to go back home and give up. In fact, we might say that they actually had no stake whatsoever in finding this Christ who was king at all. They were Zoroastrians, a big name for a small religious community. The truth for them was found in fire and water and the study of the stars. But at that point, and this is important, they still needed help. They didn't know the whole story, and they weren't willing to settle for something just secondhand, somebody else's story. So even with this vast knowledge they had, a vast knowledge of the universe, they asked the question millions of people have asked through the ages. Where is Jesus? And that short, simple question is just as important for us today on this first Sabbath of 2025 as it was 2,000 years ago. Where is he? Throughout history, of course, the church has offered its own, sometimes fragmented, answers to that question. Well, if you want to know who Jesus is, you just have to believe and subscribe to our system of beliefs, or repeat our doctrines, or memorize the Apostles' Creed, and you study the Bible, and there you'll have it. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. In fact, all those things are very important for strengthening our faith and increasing our understanding. But taken alone, taken apart from a real first-hand encounter with the living Christ, when we reduce our faith to God in just a formula or a law of behavior, then we're often just as lost, confused, and hopeless as we ever were. Because you see, taken apart from a real encounter with the incarnate God, those laws and creeds and rituals are only just words. If we remain convinced that Jesus is only on the side of our own political party, or we feel quite certain that only people who look like us and sound like us and act like us are God's chosen people, well, we've missed the message of the child at Bethlehem. And that's how even good Christians can miss Bethlehem altogether, looking in all the wrong places for salvation. Because the truth of the matter is, none of us could ever measure up. We're never going to believe rightly enough, or strongly enough, or be good enough, or be faithful enough. Where is he when we've lost our way? Where's Jesus when we have failed him or forgotten him? When we've missed him by a mile, or nine, or 9,000? Do we just give up and say, well, it's just too far? Do we say, well, we got close enough, that's good enough? We do, as Isaiah said, we arise, for our light has come. We stand up again and again and again, after the world has done its best to distract us, mislead us, threaten us, we stand up over and over again. And really, that's what Epiphany is. It's the season of standing in the light to learn how Christ is revealed to us. Each one of our Epiphany stories start with this one last trip to Bethlehem, but they don't end there. They take us down all those winding roads of the world into stores and hospitals and cemeteries and banks and gas stations. What if? What if you and I are supposed to be more like those weary travelers than we first imagined? Maybe not so much in possession of a doctrine or a special creed or going to church every once in a while, but more like a community of pilgrims and travelers bearing our own gifts into this broken, needy world. And what would it mean for us to model our own lives after the Magi, following a star? It might mean that we would find him and be overwhelmed with joy. We might finally understand at long last how great is his love for us. In all our embarrassing imperfections, in all our vulnerability, in all our miscalculations, we would find him there, on the city streets, in the low places, dining with sinners, forgiving them. We'd find him with the sick and unlovable. And by the grace of God, we would find Christ revealed in our own lives, within ourselves, and discover the likeness of Christ in others. And so we, like the Magi, come bearing our own gifts. Not because God really needs anything, but because it is we who need to do the giving. Glory to God. Amen. I'd like to invite the ushers forward at this time for the morning offering. We invite all who know Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior to the Feast of Holy Communion. Please join with me now. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. You are holy, O God,
And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch, and yet was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice, and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart, and met with violence and death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb, and at his command, the gates of hell were opened. To the amazement and joy of his followers, Jesus greeted them on the third day. He also shared the journey of those returning to Emmaus, appearing to them as a stranger. Holy One, as your risen Son Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread, be revealed to us this day. We praise you for his living presence among us, and therefore with the whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, we worship you and sing with joy. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Lord, send your Holy Spirit that we in your entire church may be called out and made whole through the receiving of the bread and cup. Grant that all who share the communion of the body and blood of your Son may be united as